Well, this morning we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. And when I think of spiritual gifts, please don't laugh at me. Okay, you can laugh at me. I always think of a beagle, a dog, a beagle, who chases bunnies. I don't know why he does, but he does. It's just something internal. I had a beagle many, many years ago by the name of Red, supposed to have come from very good stock, a real field champion. And I had him for about 5 months, and maybe I was starting a little too early. Maybe that was part of the problem. But I would see a rabbit, and I'd try to get him on the trail and nothing. And I tried various other things. So we decided to buy a domestic rabbit. And all kinds of stories go with that, okay? Including like a Walt Disney scene with the dog chasing the rabbit, with the kids of the block chasing the rabbit and the dog going through neighbors' houses and things like that. But when I showed him this rabbit, something just went off on him and clicked. Not only did he chase the rabbit, but he started to bay. Here's this 5-month-old beagle chasing this rabbit. I had never trained a dog before. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know what to do. And I ended up really doing nothing. I just let him do what he does. Beagle chases the bunny. With spiritual gifts, it's a little different in a sense. It's a little different. That's when we receive the Holy Spirit, we also receive spiritual gifts. And of course, this is a propensity that we have. It's a divine enablement that we didn't have before we were saved. But now we have this divine enablement, not that we're perfect at it, but we have this propensity to do some of these services to the body of Christ, to edify Christ. We just do it. We just have a propensity for it. And I think this is emblematic of our spiritual gifts. It's important for us to know our spiritual gifts, and we're going to be talking about that at the end of this sermon. But I talk about spiritual gifts because that is what's being said in 1 Timothy 4, verse 14. And we're only going to cover one verse because I want to spend some time talking about spiritual gifts today. We have before. We just finished or are finishing up with our study on the Holy Spirit, where we spent quite a bit of time talking about spiritual gifts. 1 Timothy chapter 4 reads, "Do not neglect," or "you must not neglect, the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance, with the laying on of hands by the presbytery," which would also be the elders. We're going to take a look at this morning then, and I want to look at, just from this one verse, do not neglect. Why is Paul telling him not to neglect that? Secondly, we're going to talk about Timothy's spiritual gifts. We're going to talk about these spiritual gifts being confirmed through prophecy or prophetic utterance. And we're going to talk about these spiritual gifts for him being affirmed by laying on of hands. This is what we're going to talk about this morning from this text. So let's first go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before you again, we come to passages, Lord, that seem to need a little bit more explanation. And before explanation, a little more extra study. Father, that is the way you tell us to study, to show ourselves approved. So help us to do that, Lord, as a Bible church. Father, we want to be the believers that you have called us to be. Godly living, we've talked about that, but also now using our spiritual gifts, and use this passage to teach us. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We did talk last week about verse 12. Look at verse 12. Just go back. Verse 12 Paul wrote to Timothy, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe." And we said that Timothy was probably in his mid-30s, and that still constituted youthfulness from Paul's point of view, and probably from the point of view of the church there at Ephesus. And Paul did not want anyone to look down on Timothy because he was younger. It doesn't matter. Look at Timothy's schooling. Timothy had probably by that time been with Paul for 15 years, not just in a semester and then a break. Every day, the preaching and teaching of the Word of God and the preaching and teaching of doctrine, both on a lofty level and also on a practical level. It would have been great to have that kind of training, would it not? Nevertheless, we believe that there may have been some who may have looked down upon Timothy because he was young. And Paul says, don't let that happen. Show yourself an example. And that's one of the ways that you combat that. But I also would say, too, as you're looking at the letter and you're reading it, you are getting the idea that, you know, maybe Timothy does struggle a little bit with timidity. That's what he says in chapter 2, or 2 Timothy. He says in 2 Timothy about Timothy's timidity, shyness, intimidation. And I don't know how bad of a problem it was, but I think Paul is writing so that that doesn't happen. And one of the ways that he's going to encourage him so that that doesn't happen is to remind him of his spiritual gifts. And not only remind him of his spiritual gifts, but remind him of the confirmation he had through prophecy and the confirmation he had through the affirmation of the elders. In other words, Timothy, you may doubt it yourself. You may be intimidated, but don't. Because you have this confirmation and this affirmation, and that should encourage you. And one way or another, I'd like to do that with all of us today as we go through this. Now, back to verse 14. He begins with, do not neglect. And the word neglect is an interesting word. I suppose what we know of neglect, what you would think of neglect, would work. But it would literally mean unconcerned. That's a little bit more than neglect. That's a reason why it would be neglected. Or to care nothing for it. Imagine someone not caring about their spiritual gifts. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter whether they use them or not. Or paying no attention. And so he writes that to Timothy. Not that Timothy was neglecting it, but it's an admonition not to neglect it. That word is also used in Hebrews, not with spiritual gifts, but in regard to salvation. Hebrews 2:3, it says, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? If we are unconcerned, if we don't care about it, we pay no attention to the gospel, how will we escape if we neglect it? Well, that is very, very important to say that for salvation. And it's very, very important to say that for believers in regard to spiritual gifts. And certainly for pastors. That's what Timothy was. He was a pastor. And he possibly had a propensity towards intimidation. And so Paul is actually encouraging him here. But make no mistake, this is a fatherly imperative. He is saying, you must. This is an imperative. Timothy, you must not. You cannot neglect your spiritual gift. This is why I sent you to Ephesus. So this is the context of it. And he tells them, do not neglect the spiritual gift within you. And I want to talk about Timothy's spiritual gifts. But before I do, let's just first talk about spiritual gifts. Okay, and I know we have. I know we have previous sermons. I know we have recently in our Sunday school. But not everybody came to the Sunday school. This is what happens. When you don't come to Sunday school, this is what happens. I'm just kidding. It wouldn't matter. All of you could come to Sunday school and I would still preach it again. Because that is what we're supposed to do. It's a gift. All right. So let's talk about spiritual gifts in a brief way here. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts. So the word actually here is gift. It's charismatos, charisma. It's a gift, but the meaning would be a spiritual gift. It comes from the root of charis, which means grace. So spiritual gifts are grace gifts, gifts given to us by God's grace. And when we talk about a spiritual gift, it's not a talent. Not that talents are bad, not that you shouldn't use your talents for the Lord, not that the Lord will not use your talents for the Lord, not even that there's an opportunity to use your talents and somehow fulfill your spiritual gifts, but there is a difference between a talent, a natural talent, and a supernatural spiritual gift. And that comes out in that word charisma. It's a grace gift or a gift from God, a gift from God's favor. It's a divine enablement. That's the key. By the Holy Spirit to edify and serve the body of Christ. It's a divine enablement. You didn't necessarily have that before you were saved. You have it now. It's a propensity to do something. And there's a lot of times in we're given admonitions, like to witness and to teach. We have our own sphere of teaching. We're admonished to do that. You can't say, well, I don't have the spiritual gift for that, because he's telling everyone to do that, every believer. Well, what's the spiritual gift for, though? There will be those who have a propensity for it, those who have a clarity in it, those who have a special gift in it. And I believe one reason is to show the rest of us how it's done. I also believe that when it comes to spiritual gifts, it is the idea, the purpose is to edify the church, to build up believers. That's what these gifts are for. And we'll even see some verses that talk about that. Well, the first thing I want to talk about these spiritual gifts, all spiritual gifts, as we see it in the scriptures, is giving spiritual gifts is the Holy Spirit's ministry. He's the one who distributes them. You remember in class, I've said over and over in our Sunday school, when you think of the Holy Spirit, think of the church. When you think of the church, think of the Holy Spirit. And here it is again. It's that idea. The Holy Spirit's ministry is to oversee and distribute spiritual gifts to believers as he determines. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. This is why it was so important for us to study the Holy Spirit, to understand what the Scripture says about the third person of the Trinity. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11 says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. And I love this verse because when I think of this verse, he is omniscient. He knows all things. When you come to Christ, you get your spiritual gifts, and they are to be used by you in the church that you end up in. And maybe several churches, but the church that you end up in, you have been given those gifts by the Holy Spirit so that you can do your part to build up the church. And by the way, can I say it? So if we're not using our spiritual gifts, there's sort of a deficiency. We need you. I don't have all of the gifts. The elders don't have all of the gifts. Even when you put us all together, we don't have all of the gifts. We need your gifts. We need you to plug in. Do not neglect your spiritual gifts, because the Holy Spirit gave you your particular gifts, I believe, for this local body right here. I believe that the next point we would see is that the Holy Spirit gives the believer all his spiritual gifts at the moment of salvation. Now, this doesn't mean the believer has all spiritual gifts. We each have our own appropriate spiritual gift. But I believe the moment that we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, at that moment we're not only indwelt with the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit gives us our spiritual gifts. And then it becomes a little bit of a challenge to find out what your spiritual gift is so that you can plug in to the church. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, now there are varieties of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. And of course, he's the one who's distributing it. And it says in verse 7 of chapter 12 that the reason is for edification. It's not like a Christmas gift where you open it up and you can enjoy it all by yourself. That's not what a spiritual gift is. A spiritual gift is given to the body, to be exercised in the body. It says, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The idea there in 1 Corinthians 12 of common good has to be edification, because he talks about edification in those chapters 12, 13, and 14. We read in Romans chapter 12, verse 6, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace, you see, there it is, the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. So we get them the moment we trust Christ, and I believe we get all of the spiritual gifts that we're going to have at that moment. It is for the edification of the church, which is the building up spiritually. Paul says at the end of in chapter 14, so also you, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek to abound for the edification of the church. That's what spiritual gifts do. They edify the church. And as a pastor and as elders, we're excited about it because we want to see the church built up spiritually. And it's not as though we're going to lift one spiritual gift up higher than the other. Paul will go so far as to say, well, look, one is one part of the body, the other is the other part, and they all need each other. That is the importance of it. The common good, seek to abound the edification of the church. Now, there's various places in Scripture where you would go to find the lists of spiritual gifts, and I'm not going to read them. I'll just say, though, you could go to Romans 12, 6 through 8. You could go to 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. You could go to Ephesians 4, 11, and there you could find a list of the gifts. Now, I will say this. When it comes to the list of gifts, I believe that the Bible teaches, we believe, the doctrinal statement here teaches, that there are some that are permanent and some that have ceased. We've spent a lot of time in the last few weeks talking about this. And basically the idea is that the gifts that were signs and wonders were signs. Signs to, number one, give affirmation to the apostles. These are God's men. Look at the miracles that they're doing. You better listen to them because they're God's spokesmen. That's the idea of those. And when the apostles, the last apostle died and the age of apostles, it was over, I believe so also was these signs and wonders gifts. In fact, I will go to one scripture. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. I think it's a very telling and convincing scripture. It says Verse 3, we see the word neglect here, but we're going to bypass that word. How will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Here we go. After it was first spoken through the Lord, that is, salvation first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. So we can say, in a sense, that's three generations there. It's the generation of the Lord who spoke the gospel first. Then his disciples, they're the ones who heard. Then they spoke the gospel. And then the third generation, which heard the apostles and his disciples preach the gospel. The Lord, his disciples or apostles, and then the disciples of the disciples. Look at verse 4. God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Why did the author not say testifying with all of us? Because I believe that those signs and wonder gifts had ceased by this time. It was confirmed with them. That's what the purpose was. You remember, Nicodemus went to Jesus by night and said, we believe that you come from God because of all of the things that no one else can do. Miracles confirmed who he was. Miracles and signs and wonders confirmed that the apostles were God's spokesmen. And of course, we believe they're God's spokesmen because you're holding their words in your hands now, the Bible, as many of them wrote the New Testament epistles. So, having said that, when we talk about spiritual gifts, and we would all agree, everyone would agree with these, there are certain gifts that we believe that are here for us today. The gift of faith, and we'll talk about this, but the gift of faith, claiming the promises of God. Some people just have that strong faith in it. It can't be discouraged. We probably all get discouraged from time to time, but there are those individuals who just seem to keep coming to the forefront having this great faith. There is the idea of helps or serving. And I love this gift. This is not a lowly gift. It's one of my favorite ones. Or the gift of administration or leadership. You could see how important that is. And it's not just telling people what to do. We can all do that. That's a natural talent. The idea is to lead in such a way that it brings everyone to growth in the Christian life, spiritual growth. And it's done in a spiritual way. It's a blessing. There's the gift of mercy, which really has more to do with being compassionate to those who are sick and afflicted. I'm sure they're very merciful as well. Giving. There's the spiritual gift of giving. And it's the idea that someone is always looking that way, always looking to see who has needs and how they can contribute monetarily and in other ways. Exhortation, that is one of the spiritual gifts. And exhortation, as we mentioned last week, it can mean preaching. It could mean you're wanting to encourage someone, but it's a strong encouragement. You're exhorting. And that's when you do what you when you preach. You're exhorting and encouraging. So both of those are in there. Then there's the gift of evangelism. Well, we would know what that is. But we're all supposed to evangelize, and we should. We should obey. Why should I do it? Because God tells you to do it. Well, then why give the gift? Because there will be some who just seem to know what to say at the right moment with particular individuals. And I'm looking at a few out there right now. And on the one hand, it's like, oh, so that's how we do it. And then there's the gift of teaching. And that would be for teaching in the church, teaching spiritual truths, teaching biblical principles. And then the last one is a pastor/teacher. which is a very interesting one because it pastor means shepherd, but he shepherds by feeding the flock the word of God. That's what pastor teacher means. So these are the spiritual gifts, and we'll talk a little bit more about this, but I'd like to go through a few things here. Let's go back to the text, and let's look at Timothy's spiritual gifts. And I think we can look at his spiritual gifts in Scripture in various places. So I'm going to go through these Scriptures, and I want to go through them quickly, but I do want to go through them. The first one is we would assume and believe that Timothy had the gift of evangelism. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So we, to his list of spiritual gifts, evangelism would be there. Teaching would be another one. All you have to do is just look at 1 Timothy. Throughout 1 Timothy, we see Paul saying, teach, 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 teach. So as a pastor, and I look at the book of 1 Timothy, what should I primarily be doing? Teach, 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 teach the Word of God. Just like we saw last week, Paul said, until I come, give attention to the public reading of the Scriptures, to exhortation, the preaching, and to teaching. That's what a church service is primarily about. Not only about, of course not. But that's what it is. That's what it's about. I mean, Paul didn't say anything else. But we know that other things are included. The fellowship, the prayer time, the singing. They sang for sure. But Paul mentions this for Timothy, for that young pastor. And it's teaching. We also see Timothy teaching before he was asked to be the pastor at Ephesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, it says, for this reason I have sent to you Timothy. So here's Corinth, the problem church, the high maintenance church. And who's he going to send? He's going to send Timothy. So I know Timothy may struggle with timidity, but he also has a great ministry. And Paul uses him and sends him out. For this reason, I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, and he will remind you of my ways, which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church. And how do you think Timothy is going to remind them? By teaching them. Of course he is. We would say that he would have the gift of exhortation and thinking of preaching there. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19, for the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us, by me, by Silvanus, and Timothy. So Timothy also preached in these churches, but the ultimate verse, 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word. You must preach the word. Keruxon ton legon. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. That was given to Timothy. So we would assume that he has the gift of exhortation. Leadership. Timothy was told by Paul to go to Ephesus and, first of all, instruct certain men not to teach false doctrine, and then to show them how the church ought to conduct itself. Paul said, until I come, you show them and teach them how they ought to conduct themselves in the household of God, the pillar of truth. And so he would have had the gift of leadership. And obviously we would think he had the gift of pastor because of being sent there to pastor that church. So this is Timothy's spiritual gifts. And this is what Paul wants to remind him of, that he has these spiritual gifts. Now, how do we know that he has these spiritual gifts? How do we know? How does Timothy know that he has these spiritual gifts? Well, let's just read on. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. So this was how this was confirmed. Now, I have to say that there is a little bit of a difference of interpretation here. What this means? What does it mean when it says that the spiritual gift was bestowed on him through prophetic utterance or with the laying on of hands? There are two major interpretations. One is that this gift, these gifts were conferred on him through prophecy and laying on of hands. So some of these he didn't have originally, but now they were conferred, given to him through prophecy and the laying on of hands. The other viewpoint is, no, like every other believer, when you come to Christ, you receive your gifts and all of the gifts. And this means it was confirmed by prophecy that a revelation came to the prophet and said, Timothy, I believe these are your gifts. And of course, the affirmation of the laying on of hands. Let's just spend a moment talking about this. Let's just spend a moment. And then I want to get into looking at our spiritual gifts. First of all, the view where it says conferred through prophecy. So if you look at the Greek here, when it says it was bestowed on you through, it is the preposition dia, as you all very well know. But dia is also a genitive. And basically it boils down to many times this word means by means of or through. So through means through, by means of. And that is a possibility. And so some people take this verse that it came by means of prophetic utterance. However, that's not the only way you can take dia in the genitive. And I suppose on the one hand, this is the frustrating part about Greek because it has several meanings, but you always go to the context to figure out the meaning. And some of the meaning, but even when you take second year Greek and you learn the various meanings of the prepositions, you come to realize that some of them are very remote, although used, but remote. But A.T. Robertson, the author of a huge grammar and also word pictures, Robertson's word pictures, probably most of you are familiar with that. In word pictures, this is what he writes. That dia, prophetēis, means accompanied by prophecy. Accompanied by prophecy. Not bestowed on by prophecy. That's the meaning that he gives it. And he is a Greek grammarian. Now, he does give a little bit of cross-reference. And I'd like you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, because we've already dealt with this a little bit. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, we saw something else about these prophecies towards Timothy. So 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight," which is the theme of Timothy, fight the good fight. But it's in accordance, not through, not by means of. So it's very possible that here the word through does not mean by means of, but could mean in accordance with or accompanies that. So these gifts, at this time of you being called into ministry, there was a prophet who confirmed that you have these gifts and you certainly are called to the ministry there with Paul. We also have a quote from William Mounce and also BDAG. That's the initials of it. It's a lexicon, a Greek lexicon of the words. And they talk about the same thing. Dia, or through, has a range of meaning extending from the actual means efficient cause. This is what caused it. To agency, who was the agent. But also to attendant circumstances. That is the idea of accompanied or with. Accompanied with. Okay, so one thing was here and it was accompanied with, it was according to, it was confirmed, not conferred. Now, let me quickly say, if we do say that it was conferred upon him, that he received him these spiritual gifts, he didn't have these before, but it was received through prophecy, all of a sudden now we're saying, oh, you don't receive all of your spiritual gifts the moment you receive Christ. Maybe you receive some in the beginning, and maybe you receive some in your call to ministry. We don't see that in Scripture. We don't see that. And then also, too, one would wonder, why would that be necessary? The Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, is omniscient, and He knows all things. He knows what spiritual gifts you would need if you were called to ministry, or He knows what spiritual gifts you would need if you end up attending a Grace Bible Church and the pastor and the elders are praying, oh, please, Lord, send us someone with this gift. He knows that. And so we would just assume then that He gives all of the spiritual gifts at that moment. There's no idea about you getting successive spiritual gifts. So the other view is confirmed through prophecy. And I know you can understand this. It just depends on how well you're going to take some of those varieties of explanations. But the confirmation of Timothy's spiritual gifts. That Timothy already had these gifts, but maybe he didn't know. Or maybe timid Timothy wasn't sure, but timid Timothy was about to find out from divine prophecy, a gift that was still going on at that time, a sign and wonder gift, a gift of revelation. And said, Timothy, you have the gift of exhortation, of preaching, of pastor teacher, of evangelism. You are called into the ministry with Paul. Now, that's not how it happens today, but back then in that transition period, you could certainly understand that. And I think that's exactly what 1 Timothy 1:18 means. You also see it's not just the gifts, but even the call to ministry. And I think this is where the laying of hands comes in, which we'll talk about in just a moment. But the laying of hands didn't give him that spiritual gift. But the laying of hands by Paul and the elders affirmed what that divine revelation uttered, that Timothy was called to ministry and Timothy has these gifts. The point of this being, Timothy, do not let anyone look down on your youthfulness. You have these gifts. God Himself, through revelation, told you through a prophet, in agreement with the laying on of hands from the elders and Paul himself. That is the idea of it. It was confirmed, not conferred. Mounts writes this, the prophecy Paul refers to is not the efficient cause of Timothy's gifts. That is God's role. That's not anyone else's role. That's God's role. The efficient cause of the spiritual gifts, specifically the Holy Spirit. It is even doubtful that any idea of intermediate agency is intended, since in the parallel passage, 1 Timothy 1:18, the prophecy simply indicates that Timothy possessed certain spiritual gifts. That's from William Mounts. He's the author of Basics of Biblical Greek, which is the standard textbook for first-year Greek. We have John MacArthur, who writes this. Timothy needed further encouragement to keep using the abilities God had given him to serve the Lord. Timothy had received ordination for service to God by the laying on of Paul's and some elders' hands. When that happened, a prophet who was present received a revelation from God that Timothy would serve Christ in a particular way. That actually was Constable that said that. MacArthur says Timothy's gift was identified by a revelation from God. See the note on 1 Timothy 1:18. An apostolic confirmation. And then to put it all together, MacArthur writes, his call, that's Timothy, his call to ministry was confirmed subjectively of what I can determine by means of his spiritual gift and by means of using his spiritual gift. That's how we discern whether we have a gift or not. Confirmed subjectively, but objectively through the prophecy made about him. It was confirmed. It's not just my own idea now. It was confirmed by revelation from the prophet. And collectively by the affirmation of apostles and the church represented by the elders. Subjectively, objectively, and collectively. That's what we're talking about here. And I think that is the correct interpretation. It's confirmed rather than conferred. Now, what about the laying on of hands? Well, we know a little bit about laying on of hands from Scripture, do we not? We do see miraculous things happen from the laying on of hands, from the hands of Jesus, who healed individuals. Mark chapter 6, verse 5, it says, and he could do no miracle there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. In other words, there was unbelief in that city, and so he didn't do much. But he did do some, and he laid hands, and sick people were healed. We also know from the apostles that the apostles laid hands on individuals, and they were healed. Why? Signs and wonders to affirm their authority as God's spokesman. We also know, we've talked about this, we also know that on a few instances, not on a regular basis, the Apostle Paul laid hands on a group of individuals and they received the Holy Spirit. When Paul taught in Ephesians, he said, when you believe on Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. But that was a transition period, and I believe it was for apostolic authority. He laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And in one instance, they spoke in tongues. But there's another instance when they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit and they didn't speak on tongues. But the norm is the moment you trust Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. And we would believe that at that moment, you receive all of your spiritual gifts. But also in Scripture too, the laying on of hands becomes sort of a ordination formula. We lay hands at times on individuals, even when someone's sick or when we want to send someone out into ministry, we lay hands on them. We're not conferring any grace upon them, not able to do that. We're not conferring, but we're affirming and saying, we're praying for this individual, or we're sending out this individual. We're affirming that this individual is being called for ministry. We see that in the Scriptures. And I'd like to look at a couple of them right now. Go to Acts chapter 6, verse 5. Acts 6, 5, actually 5 and 6. And here we have the choosing of the deacons, I will call them, the seven men. And they were ordained and they laid hands on them at the ordination. Acts 6, 5 says, the statement found approval with the whole congregation. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. Verse 6, and these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them. Not to give them any gifts, but to give their approval, their affirmation upon them. Even in regard to Paul and Barnabas. Acts 13 says, while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul, who's Paul, for the work to which I have called them. Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. It was for ordination. And that's what I think we have here. It was not only the elders, but we could go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and see where Paul laid hands on Timothy. But it was for affirmation. And there was divine revelation through the prophet, through the prophetic utterance. And this was something that he needed to be reminded of to bolster his faith. One writes this, that in our day, God's call comes not through special revelation, but through providence. If God wants a man in the ministry, he will give him that desire and open a door for opportunity. And I added, as well as a recognition of that gift and call by others. That's how that happens today. So in summary, what we have in this verse is, in order for Timothy to be encouraged, strengthened, and emboldened, he was reminded of the elders' affirmations and prophetic confirmation of his call to ministry and spiritual gifts. Timothy, there's no reason in the world why you should doubt your call to ministry. There's no reason in the world why you should let anyone look down upon your ministry. Now, I want to spend just a little time talking about your spiritual gifts, because it is driven home today in this passage about how important it is. And not only that, it's important that you know what they are. It's important that you use them. And it's important because one of the reasons is that it's going to be an encouragement to you as you have this idea of a spiritual gift. Now, as far as call in the ministry, you may be called in the ministry. But as I've always said, every believer is already in ministry, whether we call it full-time service or not. You have spiritual gifts, which means you have a ministry, and that's an encouragement, especially if there's some timidity about it. Well, let's first of all talk about discernment of what spiritual gift you have. Well, I did put in your bulletin today a spiritual gift evaluation. Now, I think I did undersell it a little bit before. Now, I know this isn't ironclad. There could be other circumstances, other definitions, other variables in discerning your spiritual gifts, but I think it's good enough to get the ball rolling. I think it's good enough based on a study of what those spiritual gifts are, definitions of those spiritual gifts, and to see whether you have a propensity or an inclination for those things. That's usually how you discern it. I enjoy that. You know, you might say, I don't ever want to get up in front of people and speak. Until you get up in front of people and speak, and all of a sudden you go, wow. In fact, I had somebody do that. Said, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. And, you know, another thing, too, is it's not only the encouragement that you get, but also we encourage others. As I go through these spiritual gifts, I do think of people in this congregation. And I've mentioned to some of them, I said, I believe you have this gift. And I believe that was an encouragement to them. Well, let's just quickly go through them just in a short time. What about the gift of faith? Do you think you might have the gift of faith? And by the way, the evaluation, I would really encourage you to take it. You don't have to hand it in. It's not a test. It's not a competition. But hopefully it's helpful. These are just going to be a little definition, little longer definitions with questions to help you determine. The first one is, do you have the gift of faith? Now, we all have the gift of faith in regard to salvation, and we all strive to have faith in the Christian life, but there will be just some like Hudson Taylor. You know, Hudson Taylor, the great missionary. God's work will not lack God's provisions if it's done in God's way. That's a man of faith. So do you have a propensity, an inclination? Do you do this often, to lay claim on the promises of God in regard to His provisions and purposes? Now, I'm not saying would you like to do that, because we all would like to do that. I'm saying, do you notice that about yourself? Do others notice that about you? Or somebody saying to you, oh, you're always looking at the bright side of things. No, I just believe God is going to work out all things together for good. Or how about the gift of helps or serving? Do you have a propensity to serve faithfully behind the scenes in menial, which there are none, but in menial and practical ways to assist in the work of the Lord? If those things don't get done, it's pretty hard to carry through with ministry sometimes. You know, it really, really is. I mean, you could do it, but some of these things are very, very necessary. And I really appreciate all the people who do come in and do things. And a lot of times they're in and out. I hear the door. I look out the window and see whose car it is. That's how that happens. And then they're out. They came in, they did something, they dropped something off. That's kind of the gift of helps. And it helps in the ministry. Now, I can vacuum. I do vacuum. I vacuum when I'm scheduled to clean the church. And I do that specifically to be an example. But it's so helpful that I don't have to do that every week, so that I can spend a little more time on those busy weeks, like this weekend, studying the Word of God. Still working on my Sunday school way up into the evening last night, because it had to be done. But that's fine. You know what? I'm not complaining. I'm the beagle who chases the bunny. I love that. Give me that, okay? But I am so appreciative then of the gift of helps. Or how about the gift of administration and leadership? Do you have a propensity to organize and lead in order that believers can be edified? It's not just in getting people to go to the right places and do the right things. This is ministry. And the leadership ought to present it in ministry. And people ought to grow in ministry as a result of it. Many times in leadership, as elders, what we think about is, will this certain thing give us an atmosphere of edification? Is it going to help us grow? And if we think something's not going to help us grow, that's one of the things that we say, well, I'm not so sure we're behind that. I'm not so sure we're behind that. I mean, what is an ice auger going to do and help you in your church? Well, if Jerry Brozy is here, he'll probably give you a few reasons. Then the gift of mercy. And I'm sure that it is a merciful person, but it seems to be a propensity to meet the needs of those who are needy and sick and afflicted. That is a gift. We were just talking about that the other day with someone, and talking about how some of these people just visit these other people who are sick, and some of them are nurses, and you know, they were called angels. They do this. They just can do that. But I'm talking about ministry-wise now, believers in the church. Some people who are just, you know, always wanting to do that. Or how about the gift of giving? Do you have a propensity to give cheerfully of your finances? That is a divine enablement, right? To give of your finances cheerfully, that's a divine enablement. Do you have the propensity to give cheerfully of your finances and possessions to the people of God for the work of the Lord? And it doesn't have to be money. I have seen individuals who have, well, I told you about one of the ladies in our church in Texas. She would go on, well, it wasn't trash day, but it was getting rid of your garage stuff, and it's laying on the curb. And she's walking through it, and she's saying, I bet that person can use that. I bet that person can use that. And she's collecting them. And I thought to myself, you know what? That's part of that gift. How about the gift of exhortation? Do you have the propensity to encourage, comfort, and strongly exhort believers if need be, according to biblical principles? Don't take the biblical principles. You're not just yelling at someone, okay? You're not just telling them what you think. You're sharing the absolute reason and necessity why they need to start walking toward the Lord, walking with the Lord. Or how about the gift of evangelism? Do you have an overwhelming burden to present the gospel to the lost regularly? We ought to. We all ought to. But you'll find those people who are just always talking about evangelism. What about the gift of teaching? And I'm going to be technical on it, and technical in my mind. Do you have a propensity to study the Word and communicate its principles with clarity? Is that something you like? Is that something you're into? You like to do that? Well, that's the gift of the spiritual gift of teaching. And then the spiritual gift of pastor, teacher. And I'm so glad that in the scriptures, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it's laid out like this. It's not just the gift of a pastor. It literally is in the Greek, pastor slash teacher. Pastor means shepherd. Teacher means teacher of the word. I just don't see how you can say you're a true pastor shepherd and not feeding the flock, the word of God. Do you have a propensity to feed, lead, and give heed? I didn't write that, but that sounds like a pastor. To feed, lead, and give heed to the flock of God as a shepherd and teacher of the word. That would be the gift of pastor teacher. Well, those are what some of the gifts are. I encourage you to take that spiritual evaluation. It's limited. But after today's sermon, I think it's a good idea. Now, what about the confirmation of a spiritual gift? Well, I think number one, just remember, there's exhortations that we're all supposed to do. We're all supposed to evangelize. If we're parents, we're supposed to teach our children. Whether you have the gift of teaching or not, we're all supposed to do those things. But there will be those who have that divine enabling to do it. I think you should study the scriptures. Do that study like the evaluation, or even maybe get the notes from our study on spiritual gifts from our Sunday school and go through that. Understand what it is biblically. Don't make them up. Well, I think I have the spiritual gift of a warrior. I've heard that before, and I'm thinking, what? You know, no, biblical definitions, the truth. Be active in many ministries, all ministries. And sooner or later, you will see some start to develop. Some go, man, I really enjoyed that. I didn't think I would. I really enjoyed that. That could be a leading to your understanding what your spiritual gift is. Be aware of those gifts that start giving you a propensity. You start, it's not that you won't do the other ones that you really do enjoy that. I would teach a junior church class. I would teach the toddlers. They don't know Greek very well, but I would do it. But this is where my heart is. This is where my burden is. To teach the church, to teach men. To teach men the Word of God so that you can go out and teach your family. This is where my burden is. My burden is in the local church. Us, the believers. That's where my burden is. And so you'll see your burdens come to the forefront. Consider the encouragement and confirmation of others. You will at times. Someone will say, I really appreciated that. That really helped me. What you did really encouraged me. I love to see the spiritual gifts of others, and I like to tell them when I see it. I do. But that's how they go, oh, okay, maybe I do have that spiritual gift. And they're encouraged, and they're not intimidated. And most of all, the big one for this sermon, do not neglect the spiritual gifts within you. Do not neglect them. We need them. The body needs them. Do not be unconcerned about them. Do not be careless about them. Exercise them faithfully in the body of Christ. And you will be fulfilling the purpose for which the Holy Spirit gave you these gifts and called you into your particular ministry. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this wonderful passage as we try to navigate through it, Lord. But today we know, Lord, that the moment we trust Christ, you give us all of our spiritual gifts, and it behooves us to understand what they are so that we can use them to build up the body of Christ, the church. And Father, so strengthen the body. Do we want to see Grace Bible Church strong in the Lord? Absolutely. And so we need every believer here to use their spiritual gifts. And I thank you for them, and I thank you for their spiritual gifts. We give them all to you, Lord, for your glory. May we glorify you. May we accomplish your will. And may we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And in his name we pray, amen.